Welcome everybody to the Sunday roast. We are missing Max, but we do have the lamp. All hail the lamp.
Supposed to be a Max replacement.
It is the Max. Well, I mean, it's an ultimately as an extra guest. It has ultimate powers. It's able to hypnotize audiences. We have two awesome guests, though. Gemma, please, can you introduce yourself to everyone?
I'm Gemma Forte, and I do a bit of talking on telly, and I have a podcast with this amazing woman called Marina Perkis, and it's called The Trawl. And basically, it's quite irreverent. So it's less of your kind of esoteric, super, super serious politics, but it is driven by passion. But we do have a laugh as well. We really unpack what's going on. And yes, it's a joy, actually. It's doing well.
It's a lot of fun. Marina.
Hi, yes. And I'm Marina Perkis. And I too, I'm very, very lucky to be working alongside Gemma Forte and having, you know, gone on this journey with the Trawl podcast, which is now doing so well. But if you haven't listened to it, honestly, it's a bit of joy and levity in a normally quite depressing world of news and politics. So do come and join us. But if you don't know me, I am on Twitter. Like, basically, you'll find me calling out the government and being a bit of a Twitter vigilante. Or it's called X now, but I refuse to call it X. Twitter. So Marina Perkis on Twitter.
How did you go? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the Trawl. How did you guys get going with it? How did you guys meet as well? I'm going to interview you just a little bit before we get into general stuff.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you go. You go.
Okay, so we met on Twitter. I followed Marina. Marina followed me. I loved the cut of her jib. I was like, she's cool. Loved everything that she was saying. Thought, she looks hot as well. I mean, that's irrelevant. And then...
that's not that irrelevant. You can say it.
Yeah, it's nice to look nice, right? And then we basically both ended up... I'd been doing things like the Jeremy Vine show for a while. I've never been quite as... I wasn't at the time as maybe out the closet as in terms of my political beliefs as much as Marina for various reasons, mainly trying to protect my job. But, you know, I'm really out the closet now and it all seems to be fine. So long story short, we both did the same show. I reached out to Marina. We became friends. And it was me who said, should we do a podcast? And as I was saying that, I was thinking, what a ridiculous idea. Because I think there's about a million podcasts out there. It's pretty saturated. And we're both busy. And I was like, oh, these are creative endeavors, as you'll know, Alex. They do take quite a bit of time and effort, but we did. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we did.
You hit top 10, haven't you? You're in the top 10.
I think we venture in there in the news podcasts and stuff like that. But we've got, yeah, we've done all right. We've had some amazing. So it's just Marina and I talking like most of the time. But it's, you know, and we go deep. We go serious sometimes. But it's the only political podcast where you also might have a bit of Cilla Black in it. Or an Alan Partridge clip, you know, we mix it up. It's varied. And so it's got this lovely following. And we also have a guest once a month. We've had Gary Lineker. We've had Carol Vorderman. We've had James O'Brien. We've had Jen Bristow. So funny. We've had the Green Peer, Jenny Jones, Natasha Devon, Gary's Economics. So, you know, that's brilliant. We didn't pay any of them. So. Yeah.
And also
outside business,
no, very little. And outside of the working together, Gemma is like stupid amounts of fun, like a lot of fun. So the fact that we are so politically aligned, and you know, one thing to mention about the podcast is it's an echo chamber, right? It's biased. It isn't like most you know, debate shows or other podcasts where you tend to get, not this one, mind you, where you tend to get someone on one side of the fence and someone on the other. We're very politically aligned. We obviously can't bear the Tories, and we talk about what's going on in a way that's sort of like quite accessible, but we're such good mates. We have such a good laugh, and people feel like they're out with their, you know, people feel like they're listening into a chat, like their mates having a chat about politics that is a bit funny. There's a lot to laugh about. Jesus, this campaign trail, there is a lot to laugh about.
Yeah, fear and loathing on the campaign trail with this lot. It's crazy. I mean, we will go into that a little bit. It is interesting. It must be lovely as well to have made a friend through politics. That tends not to happen. I mean, most of the time you tend to find that politics fractures friendships.
Alex, it's a Brexit benefit. you know. We're all struggling to find them, but this is it. And Marina, you know, this thing can happen with straight females where you fall in love with someone, right? And that friendship where you just go, oh yeah, you're brilliant, I want to be around you, and it's just so like, oh, I want to see you all the time. And we've got that, and it's just heaven. And there are moments where it's like, I've got obviously amazing like circle of friends, as has Marina. We've only known each other about 2 years, which is crazy. But there's been so many moments it's like, where only Marina will do. I know that I can like just leave a very ranty voice note and she'll care, because I'm talking about the latest policy. But it's not just that. We do hoot with laughter when we get together, and we've had the trolls led to some lovely adventures. Some although there's this things. Pressure if you go around saying I'm really fun, Marina, and then we're going to Ibiza in September. What if I'm just really dull? What if actually we get there and you're like, you're not the person I thought you were going to be, and I'm just in. I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to have a quiet night.
Is this your first holiday together then, coming up in September?
Yeah, we've done festivals before. So we've done that Wilderness Festival where we actually did a live trawl. And we are doing Glastonbury. We're going to be doing Glastonbury as well, bringing the trawl to Glastonbury. So that's going to be fun. But no, we've never taken it on a plane. I'm actually really excited to go on a plane with Gemma. I think that's going to be fun. I think even just like security, passing security is going to be fun. Everything.
You know, at Glastonbury as well, like, I'm not really into sort of camping and stuff. And I said, it's the guy that booked us. I was like, where are we staying? And he said, you're staying? We've got the fields. And I went, what are you staying in? And he went, we need to bring a tent. I was like, oh, God, Christ.
I mean, I just said, don't, just what you need, right? All you need is a very strong blow dry, lots of hairspray, and then just
wet wipes. I'm just, who's going to put up the effing tent? Because that's not my thing.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to dig deep and say it's probably not yours either.
You didn't fancy trying a little bit of glamping? Getting one of those like Urts that they sometimes hire.
Ridiculously expensive. They're
like, we're too tight.
This podcast business is not as lucrative as people
think. No, 100%. I ain't got $5,000 to spend on a bloody bit of linen to sleep in. No, we're going to get one of the, apparently you can get on a very popular website, you can get this thing, and whether it works or not, and you sort of go da da, and it just puts itself up. My daughter said they're unenvironmentally friendly, and I just thought, well, sorry. I can bring it back.
We could maybe get a secondhand one.
There you go.
What
a solution. Pop-up. Someone's already bought it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we live in Britain. It'll probably be like a hurricane or something.
And the tent will blow away. That's the thing that worries me. We'll come back to our tent and it just won't be there.
The blow dry can only be so strong. Maybe I should buy a wig. Glue it on.
Maybe.
It'd be like... Anyway.
We're going to bring in wigs later because we're going to talk about Trump. But in the meantime, let's talk about the general election.
Let's do it.
How's that going? I've been a little bit in and out of the country recently, so I'm a little bit like missing on certain points. But obviously, the thing kicked off with conscription.
Yeah,
that was like one of the first things that came out. And you know, you've got kids. I've got I've got some nephews. I'm going, do you really want them to be growing up and going into the army for a year? It sounds like it's a bit more like the Norwegian model, which is quite interesting. And I've got a bit more time for that. But also the mandatory volunteering. That's interesting.
Mandatory volunteering. I said this. So this is like an oxymoron. This is like cheating faithfully or quietly shouting. You can't do it. It doesn't. The two are mutually exclusive. And also the comparison with the Scandinavian models is that in those countries, there is a more reciprocated sort of system. So yes, maybe there is a volunteering that's expected from the younger people, but they'll get tuition fee payment, for example. Their education system, you know, is in a better state. Their welfare state is far better. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like, actually, wait a second, we've actually treated our youngsters like shit. They've paid us a public service in one way or another during COVID, where they locked down to essentially protect their elders, and we've screwed them over in terms of the housing market. They've got tuition fees that are now absolutely eye-watering, and you're paying them off till you're 40 rather than 30. Stagnant wages, can't live, travel, work, study, wherever in 27 countries. And they're expected to pay something back. What do they owe? Bugger off.
Do you know, the last time my jaw was on the ground after a policy announcement, it was Rwanda. I remember just thinking, what? up and saw this, and I actually felt really viscerally angry. And I'm quite resilient with Tory bollocks, right? But I was livid, absolutely livid. I thought you, because soon I could have had his one day off. He'd clearly scuttled into some room with some dickhead advisor. They've literally gone, desperation, ill thought out, load of shit, and just quite frankly, like cruel, sort of playing into this idea that all young people are this, that, and the other, like such a broad, lazy brushstroke. And actually, where I feel angry is that there is a pandemic of mental health problems, and that is for a number of reasons. One being that small children can access pornography at the age of bloody nine, you know, and that is happening. But secondly, you know, they've lived through the pandemic, which was their civic duty, right? That was their national service, because they're not going to die from COVID. They were protecting their grandparents. They were protecting the NHS, and they did that, right? And they haven't got any mental health services. So if you're a kid who's got this, that, or the other, you're lucky to get any support whatsoever. So for those kids, get and do this and do that. Mm-hmm. And I've got a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I take umbrage with it because it's a financially shit idea as well. Because my kids work at the weekend, and my daughter's doing quite well. She's working at a restaurant, and she's going to uni in September. I need her to work because I'm going to help her as much as I can, but I'm not going to be able to be one of these parents that pays all her rent or whatever. She's going to have so much debt. And that debt has interest on it. And then you want to make it compulsory time to go in for a course. Then. Oh, so yeah, there you go. That's mine.
How are you feeling about it, Marina, with your kids?
Well, all right, I'm going to be totally honest. My anger wasn't at the policy ever being enacted, because it's, let's be honest, it's not going to be enacted for so many reasons. One, because it looks like we're not going to have a Conservative government. But two, even if they did, like, they've not explored, like, sanctions, for example. It's not, what are they going to do, punish the parents? So are they going to change the framework or the definition for what is a youngster now, if parents are now responsible for 17, 18-year-olds? Is it going to be, if it's going to be a legal thing, how are they what are they going to do? Because our judicial system's hardly there twiddling its fingers waiting for people to come along and be sentenced, and we don't have spaces in our jails. So it's basically just a never going to happen policy. So I wasn't angry. I wasn't fearful for my kids. If I'm going to be fearful for my kids, it's going to be they're never going to get on the housing ladder, or my husband and I, banker mum and dad, are going to have to help them. That's my concern for them. Which I suppose, because they're so young, they're like almost two and three and a half, sort of hoping, being optimistic, that things will change.
I also think, if anybody's watching, and say, I mean, it won't come in, and I think I knew that as well. I was just cross with their sort of how desperate they are and how pathetic they are for even suggesting it, really. But if it did come in and someone came and said, "All right, you know, you're going to sign up," you just say, "Piss off." That's it. Just say that.
Yep.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do?
They'd have women like me, mums like me out in the street going, "Why are you order? Why are you order?" You know? No, it's a fat no from me.
It's funny because, I mean, you could play a little bit of, I was about to start playing the devil's advocate here, because we like to do that, because as you said, sometimes it could be a bit of an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. But do you know how they were going to fund this?
Yes. So £2.5 billion.
There's no point in being here, is there?
2.5, I know. £2.5 billion this is going to cost. Because we've got that money, apparently. And part of it is going to, I think, £1 billion of it was going to be...
avoidance.
By closing down, sort of clamping down tax avoidance. It's a bit like, lads, why didn't you do that before? We've been in power 14 years. And then the other 1.5 billion was it was going to come out of their, you know, their levelling up sort of prosperity fund, which was supposed to be the Brexit replacement for the money that we lost from the EU. So it's like levelling up was your flagship policy, and you've now stripped 1.5 billion of its funding to pay for this, which, by the way, apparently people are saying it would never cost that much. It would cost way more.
Probably. It's probably noble figures, isn't it?
Yeah, and people in the army have said it's an absolutely ridiculous idea, because what they need to do at the moment is concentrate on training up people who really want to be in the army, not having truculent teenagers that don't want to be there. Like, the whole army would be dedicated to going, come on, Kevin, come on, pick your bag up. No. Oi, Julie, no, stop it. Put your phone away. All that bollocks. It's just a... They could volunteer as well, of course, but that's unpaid. Mamma mia, they are absolutely idiots. And the worst take ever was, which is in the latest Trawl episode, I mean, because we play loads of clips in it, and it's Rachel Johnson, sister of Sir Sex Yeti, Boris, and she says, well, it's a great idea because we haven't got any fruit pickers because of Brexit.
How dare she?
How dare she?
How very dare she?
How very dare she?
So they've buggered something up. There's now, because of their Brexit, her brother's Brexit, there's no more fruit pickers, and they want our teenagers to just plug the gap.
There's a labour shortage. There's a massive labour shortage, and that's their policy. This is the concern I have with the Labour Party, is like, they're going to come in, they've got an absolute wrecked show. I don't even know where they begin to try and fix stuff, because you pull in one direction, so let's say you went for this national conscription policy, well, then you're taking away from a different area that's also in need. So there's no hospitality, there's no fruit pickers. Farming's struggling to recruit anyone at the moment. So you're like, well, how's that helping? The only solution seems to be, at least what the Bank of England are trying to do, is shrink the economy. And that way you free up labour, because there are less businesses, or... a better way of putting it would probably be there's less businesses, so there's not a labor shortage. There's more, what they want is to have more people and less jobs, so they want people chasing jobs.
No, what you have to do is align again with the EU, and you have to call it something that it isn't, and you have to have freedom of movement. That's it, and join the single market and shut up. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Let's not piss about. Let's not try and decimate business. Yeah.
Well, then, how do you feel about Starmer's policy of make Brexit work? Are you thinking it's just a partway gateway? It's like an easy gateway to getting into power, so he doesn't get any flack from the right wing media.
Rachel Reeves hinted the other day, didn't she, at closer alignment?
Yeah, she's starting already. She more than hinted. Mm. And as for Keir Starmer, make Brexit work. Look, I hate it. But it's strategic, right? Because if he says, okay, we're going to go back in or whatever, then straight away the next election becomes bloody Brexit referendum again, doesn't it? So I think it's the right thing to do. Like us, you know, weep when we hear it. Yeah, I think it's clever.
Piers Morgan brought it up in Question Time last night.
Yes, that will be in the Trawl next week, Marina. Mm-hmm. I actually tweeted about it because I put the clip in. Okay, we all know what, you know, Piers Morgan, whatever, slightly problematic, but kudos to him, because he had the tobacco-ridden frog sat there and he just said, you know, Brexit is ruinous, it hasn't worked out, you've broken your promises, what about the next election? Surely there should be a referendum. And he was like,
I can't bear him.
He didn't have an argument for it either. That's what he did. He sort of mumbled to himself. Well, how could he justify it? And then the normal go-to thing, which is fascinating, is just to say, oh, it's the Conservative Party that's caused all of this. And you're a bit like, well, then why did you make that promise? Your promises were completely irrelevant. And you must have realised that, because it was down to the government, not Brexit. And that means those policies were always there. And it was a government decision not to implement, like with the NHS. We saw that with austerity. There was no funding of the NHS. And as a result, we're now in this situation where we've got a backlog of 1 million people.
Oh, I can't bear it. I'm just so furious with the BBC as well for platforming him again. I think it was 57 times or something like that he's been on.
I know. How many times have we been on, Marie?
I know. And also, I mean, fair enough, we're not candidates.
No, exactly.
We've never run. But I was just on a podcast just before this with Count Binface. Yeah, he does a podcast. Little ledge that he is.
He
could argue, has got more reason to be on Question Time than bloody Nigel Farage.
Anybody has. Look at the Green leader, Ed Davey, for frigg's sake, someone from the SNP, Nigel Farage, unelected. Party. How many times has he stood for election and not got, I think it's seven or something.
Yeah. Seven
times.
BBC Question Time, God.
just a complete joke. And also the fact that he's not even doing anything to help reform during this election. So he doesn't give us stuff. And he wants to go and help the convicted felon over in... So great. So well, go and stop being off on question time.
He did promise to leave if Brexit failed.
Good.
And yet I very rarely hear anyone pull him up on that promise.
It used to. So basically, I think the KPI for BBC Question Time has changed, because it used to be probably not that sensationalist, just a political discussion show, debate show, whatever. And now you can see from the people that it's booking, it's clickbaity, and it's going down the populism route.
Yeah.
And why do we have people? And also, come on, like, why do we have the think tanks on there? If you're a think tank and you've got people that fund you that are, you know, don't declare their interests, then what the bloody hell are you doing on BBC Question Time?
They did have an amazing female bishop who was good. Wes Streeting was on, fair. You know, what I will say is that the BBC creating that, or is that just the way the world's gone now? You know as well as I do that shows that we go on is about the clips, really, you know. And the trouble is that clip with Piers Morgan versus Nigel Farage, and I agree, I don't want to see him, but actually that was a good moment.
Yeah.
And it's gone viral. And at least somebody has sat, whoever it is, I don't care, and said that in front of him, and he didn't have an answer. So in terms of his publicity yesterday, perhaps you could argue people who believe in him would go, Piers Morgan saying that, you know, that's interesting. Maybe there's an argument to say that was a good moment.
I think there is an element of that. There was a lot of pushback on Twitter in two ways. So I've seen a lot of people saying that they want to see more balanced on the Question Time and in the BBC for rejoin. That lineup was pretty much all Brexit. I mean, I don't know what the bishop's position was, but Piers Morgan, he was Remain, but he then said, well, that's the will of the people, so we've got to enact it. So he's always been sort of a bit flip-flappy, even though I'd probably say if he had the choice, and after Question Time, he brought it up. But we've been watching all of this stuff come up over the last, 8 days? When's Brexit been brought up?
It's well, I know it's the elephant in the room, but Labour just can't now. They can't make it another Brexit election, which the last one was. And actually, the Greens have ideas on it. The Lib Dems are parroting, of course, they would rejoin straight away, but no one hears them.
No, you've got to. Poor Ed Davey's got to slide down a water slide for anyone to pay any attention to him.
He's done everything. He's been on a bike with his legs open. It's so undignified. So undignified.
I don't mind it. Do you know what? I actually don't. How many years has that man been trying to get a bloody voice? Has he been trying to get some airtime, attention, some media attention, a platform? And he's gone, do you know what? It's not bloody working. Give me that paddleboard.
Marina, this bodes well for the troll publicity. I want you to go into Leicester Square. I want you to have one boob painted with the and the second boob painted with troll and wander around and get us some listeners. Yeah?
You know what? I reckon that would do really well, right? But sadly, I'm not that sort of person.
You've got dignity. That's why, Marina. Mm. And that's my point. Ed Davey, come on. You're better than that. You're actually an intelligent man who can make a good speech.
Hang on a second. I'd go down a water slide for the troll. I'd get on a bicycle for the troll.
Going down a bloody water slide. I say this, we'll be in Ibiza. Whee! The troll! Whee! All right, whee! Falling off a paddleboard.
Whee! Do you reckon you did it on purpose?
What?
Fall in five times.
No. Paddleboards are tricky.
Yeah.
You've got to be, if you're standing up and not on your knees, I've done quite a lot of paddleboarding, you have to have a sort of core of steel. And if you're not concentrating and focused and you're trying to have a chat, you fall off. And you've got to be in the middle of the board and you have to slightly bend your knees and you have to have a core of steel. And if it's we're talking about paddleboarding now. If it's a very still, you're fine. The minute there's a wave,
you're done. You're doomed. It was interesting because obviously you fell into a Lake Windermere, which is just full of pollution.
Full of shit.
Yeah.
Full of shit. So I get the impression he did it on purpose. And I think actually it worked, which is terrible. Because it means that the only way the Lib Dems could get in the mainstream media was to fake throwing himself into the lake.
Yeah,
on
but
five
come on, Alex,
separate occasions.
It's like a zip line moment. You know, there are things that whether we like them or not, they stick out, and they are amusing, appeal, or you know, and interest certain parts of the electorate that don't care when he's standing up in a suit making a speech.
I wonder if that's the point that they've said be a bit more Johnson because he's a character and everyone thought it was so funny. I mean, I thought it was as funny as I think that bit. I think Boris Johnson is as funny as going to the fridge for a glass of milk and drinking it before you realise it's off. That funny.
We've sour all milk. Done that.
We've, well, done we've that. All done that. You're like, yeah, yeah, that's how much he made me laugh.
And yet it did make front page. And he was comms officer. He was comms officer for the Lib Dems. So he must have a bit of savviness. So I'm a bit like, has it really got to that? Because a lot of the policies haven't come through. Like we had the conscription, which managed to get through. But Labour's policies on the NHS got blocked out because of Diane Abbott and all the furore around that.
We managed to get voting younger, didn't we? They managed to get that out before they absolutely 17. Stuffed it. Yeah. Mm.
But then you get into this bigger thing about mainstream media and the issues around that and whether or not, I mean, it's quite interesting because we're obviously on here and we're all growing as podcasters and YouTubers. And we're getting a bigger and better audience. Even Piers Morgan is out. It's quite funny, actually. Nigel Farage started slagging off Piers Morgan for losing his TV show. And he was like, no, I quit because I went onto YouTube. And it was almost like Nigel Farage, the dinosaur, never understands about the future or anything like that. He just keeps reciting back to the Victorian period or the 1980s where he thinks everything was glamorous and perfect. Mm. And we're all trying to move into the future. And you've got this group that are continually holding us back. You know, I've heard YouTubers describe YouTube as the new Hollywood. And it was odd that Farage was slagging off Piers Morgan about being on YouTube as if it was a bad thing. But he'll have more reach on that if he builds up an audience. Have you?
It's unlike Farage to, you know, be out of touch with reality. This is a man that does live in the, he lives in like, his whole shtick is nostalgia. Is looking back, like, you know, the good old days. So that's no surprise whatsoever.
But also not in his defence, because you're absolutely right, he's regressive and old-fashioned and don't get anything about the media. But I guess the media landscape has changed because he's sort of making that little spiteful jab. Because, of course, if you're a traditional broadcaster in the sense of the word, you know, on a national broadcaster, you know, who wants to reach, he would still think it was more prestigious to be on ITV, to be on BBC. And there's, you know, there's a tiny bit of truth in that. And I don't know what the demographic on YouTube is, certainly younger.
Yeah.
And so that's good for Piers Morgan. Of course, it's good for anybody. But Nigel Farage's audience, I don't think are watching much YouTube.
Probably not. Well, his figures aren't great. Your figures are better, Marina. I've definitely seen that.
Oh, really? Max. Wow. Yeah. My figures are better than Nigel Farage's.
Yeah. He gets rubbish figures. So does Lee Anderson. Like, GB News on YouTube is awful. They get awful figures. Some of my videos are definitely better than what any GB News has ever produced. I've got one that was 500,000 views.
Blimey. They have actually.
Boom. What was the half a million?
It was me and Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? So they needed you to come on there to fix their programming.
Which is why I would never want to do it. I didn't want to ever help their numbers, but it was an opportunity that had to be taken.
Too bloody right. And YouTube is the way forward. You know, of course it is. Nigel Farage's never going to understand that.
Apparently his TikTok's got 1 million subscribers.
Wow. Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. And also, you know, bearing in mind, like, I'm 10 years older than Marina. I don't even know what our demographic is, particularly on the tour. We haven't really looked into the analytics. But it's interesting, isn't it? It's like outlook is really important. You know, being like, looking forward, understanding how the media landscape is changing. Like, I'm so glad to have a podcast. Podcasts are where it's at. And, you know, actually, TV is... I know we didn't come on to talk about media, but TV is is dying, and it's a bit sad. It's something that I've been involved with since I was 18. I was in production, and then I was a presenter for years, and then I've always done sort of been a jobbing TV person, right? But you've got to be pragmatic in this life. So what I say to my kids, you might have 5 careers in your lifetime, 6 careers. You've got to change. You've got to be, you know, resilient and progress. So I think 2/3 of TV staff at the moment are out of work.
Yeah.
It's so sad, but they're just, you know, not able to justify the budgets anymore. Advertisers aren't paying the same money. It's all going to places like YouTube and Instagram and so on. So yeah, Nigel, wake up, smell the coffee. Don't, because we don't want him to have a bigger reach. he's got enough reach as it is.
Have you actually been invited on a Question Time or any of the BBC politics programs? Considering how big you guys are.
Question Time, they called me about a year ago and they did the whole sort of screening. I had a conversation for about 45 minutes and they're like, great, we've got you on file. When we come, like, you know, depending on where we're going around the country, we'll give you a ring. It's never happened. And then like sometimes is it BB? What's the other one? There might have been another one, but I've forgotten.
Is it Politics Live?
Yeah.
Politics Live, yeah.
But they keep getting the IEA on there. It's neoliberal, mad, there's a box of frogs group.
I don't get asked to do anything. I think they hear my putty mouth on the trawl and just go, no, she's an idiot. That's not true. I do Sky and I do Jeremy Vine and, you know, one day. Hi, hello.
I think also we've been a little bit scathing of the BBC. I certainly have. I mean, just ahead of the Nigel Farage appearance on Question Time, I put out a tweet with the announcement of him going on saying, BBC, you absolute bellends. And it sort of, you know, it was liked thousands and thousands of times shared.
That might do it. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't care. I'm not after a gig on bloody BBC. I think...
No.
I love their output, of course, on their other channels and whatever, but the political output and Laura Koonsberg, like her doing election night coverage, no thanks. I'm all right.
Yeah, and also I think part of... Sorry, Alex, we talk so much. I'm so sorry. I think part of the appeal and part of why the trawl works is because we do just say what we think. We're not affiliated to anybody, or including any political party, but we also don't have to be, you know, very aware of, you know, you can't upset that person because blah, blah, because of different kinds of politics. Yeah. It's refreshing.
No producer, no manager on top of you. It's literally your own voice. But the only person that is in charge of you is the audience. So if you can resonate with them, then that's your boss, essentially, which is far better. But the other big difference is with TV, you can build a community with YouTube. It's much harder to do that through television.
Yeah.
I need to build my YouTube up. If anybody's watching wants to go subscribe, do me a favor, do a pity subscribe. It's not as big as it is. I don't think I have very much on it, but now when I do something, I put it on. It's building up.
Slow burn.
We'll definitely have links in the description for both of you and the
trawl. Super.
100%. Like,
super. The trawl one's rocking and rolling because I don't do that. Because Max, our editor, has started to do it. And it's great. It's brilliant.
No. I was going to don't ask Gemma to do anything involving technology.
No.
We have a little joke. We call her our head of tech. Because
I can do all sorts of things now. I can print screen tweets onto a Word document.
Well done.
I know.
High five.
No. Thanks. Cheers. It's all, you know, learning. There's lots of shit I can do that other people can't. I've written 5 books. I'm really good at parallel parking and I cook a great lasagna. So, you know, whatever. We've all got different strengths.
You're pretty damn good.
And I'm fun.
And holding Richard Tice to account.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Several times.
Yes.
Thank you, Alex.
No, you did. I mean, it was wonderful. You've done it twice because you did it on a one-to-one interview with him, didn't you? On the, I think it was the BBC. And then you also held him to account on, was it Jeremy Vine? Where he popped up? And you had to keep pointing out to him. It's absolutely priceless. All these major news organisations, financial organisations saying that Brexit's shit.
Yeah.
There is a cult element to what they've got going on. I was reading Otto English's book on fake heroes, I think it is, or fake history. And he was talking about a cult group that just had to, that believed that the UFOs were going to come down. Unless they sorted it all out in their head and came out and did certain things like bake a cake and try and meet the green alien in public, the whole world was going to end. And then apparently on one occasion, I think this is 1970s America, on occasion, they really thought the world was going to end. So they decided that they were going to go out to a location and they were going to take out an actual cake to the aliens to meet them. And they were so excited about this, they released a press release. And the press were out there all waiting for these aliens to turn up. Christ. It's going to happen in America, I swear. And of course, the alien didn't turn up. But the cult had a journalist inside the group who was like following them and taking notes. So once the press had left and they'd gone back to their home, instead of calculating the fact that obviously that what had happened was totally bonkers and nuts, they reevaluated it in such a way that they decided that they'd actually saved the planet. And that's why the alien didn't turn up. Just like, this is
oh my word. And this is it. This is why when you're so far like down that rabbit hole, there's no point even trying to rationalize with these people because they can just about anything. Mm. And it's a bit like, I'm going to do a handy segue now, a bit like Trump and Trump support, because what we've just seen happen in the US, you know, he's just been found guilty on 34 out of 34, is it, charges?
Spot on.
And yet, reportedly, there's been a surge in popularity for him. I think 24% of Republicans say that, no, 24% more say that they would now vote for him. And I just think it's that, isn't it? It's like he's now become even more of a martyr than he was before.
You're right. But I think there's a lot of undecideds in the middle somewhere who will be put off.
Oh, so it's 36% of undecideds are put off. 34% of Republicans are like, brilliant. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's confirming that the state is against him.
Only 36% of undecideds are put off.
Only.
Right.
And then you've got this slightly put off group, which I think is about 24. So in total, it's about 60% have now shifted away from Trump, which is really important in the US election.
So that could do it. That could swing it away from Trump. It is meaningful. It is meaningful. I mean, thank God we're still vaguely at a place where becoming a convicted felon is a bad thing. Overall, but yes, as Marina, as you say, there are those people who just are convinced that the poor love, he's so everybody's out to get him.
Yeah,
but it's the same kind of person we have it here, you know, with the Johnson. Oh, he was doing his best, and we only had a bit of cake. You know, how many times did you hear that? And you think, oh, for God's sake, come on, no.
What did you see? Rishi got pulled up on that in Buckinghamshire in a factory.
Yeah.
Oh, handled that. He handled that like a pro, didn't he?
Oh!
He handled it like the socially gauche, soulless person that he is. He does not know how to, he doesn't do human connection. He doesn't do empathy, doesn't do compassion, doesn't do EQ. Wow.
Yeah, the guy was so emotional. So if you haven't seen it, his voice was really shaking because his mother died during COVID and they couldn't say goodbye to her. And it's a horrible death. And you all know the circumstances. So talking to Rishi about that and basically saying, you know, then you were having parties and Rishi seemed like tried his best. He was sort of like, that's terrible. Anyway, and that would be around the time you got to know me when I was Chancellor. Well, actually, I was really trying to help businesses like yours.
Like yours?
Yeah. My favourite tweet was from the Exploding Heads and they quote tweeted it and said something like, No, you're still thinking about your mum, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't know how much worse is this going to get, because every day there is something that goes terribly wrong and his comms are just horrendous. Did you see him playing football? Did you see him dribbling around the cones? Look, I don't mind. I actually don't mind. I think that's the more human, thing that he's done. He's just wooden. He's like, I've seen like Woody from Toy Story has got more human motion going on.
Chair has still got more human emotion. A wooden chair has more human emotion.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. How can you be that square and then put in charge of the country with no...
Well, I don't think Starmer's showing a huge amount of bloody empathy or an EQ right now either with how he's treating his candidates, you know.
Diane Abbott, yeah. Wow.
Well, and the other, yeah. Ugh, God. And,
But he's got common problems as well. I mean, this is in part like down to, again, the Conservatives. I was talking to someone about this morning. If you actually had the date set in stone, everyone can prep and it's not all scrambling around. And it isn't just for the parties. It's also for the groups that have to organise it, because every single council has to be on tenderhooks and ready for over a year just in case the election's called. I saw a couple of people on Twitter today saying they can't get their postal vote sorted and they're living abroad at the moment, or they're out of the country during the vote. And you're going, what? This is the problem with doing it their way, which gives them the advantage, but it wrecks the country. And it, I mean, in many ways, that's a reflection of them. It's all about party and not about country.
Yeah, but that'll be some of their voters as well, won't it?
Well, you know, we know if you're living in the EU, you're slightly thinking to yourself after Brexit, are any of them
vote? Yeah.
There's the odd one.
Yeah.
Well, that was my 500,000 view video, was a Tory voter, a Brexiteer, saying how he hadn't realised that voting for Brexit was going to damage his ability to live in Spain.
So, yeah. And listen, we were saying the other day, like, Vox Pops are quite tricky, really. You just avoid them, because you watch these people and obviously they just find... It's just like, do you want to watch them? Do you want to put yourself through it? None of us are going to know what's happening until the actual night, and I might explode.
Well, I also reckon when I was younger, when I was even like 10 years ago, maybe, if someone had vox popped me in the street about politics, I wouldn't have had a bloody clue. So I think a lot of people, but the scary bit is when you've got people that don't have a clue, but have got a very strong opinion.
Yeah.
That are most, because they're definitely going to go out and vote and they know who for. But they've absolutely been led down the garden path.
That's the problem, isn't it? Everyone's entitled to a vote without guaranteeing any knowledge.
And there's this very interesting sort of battle between the left going on at the moment. You know, it's like, are you just committed to trying to get the Tories out? Will you be voting tactically? Which is sort of where Marina and I fall, because I can't bear another day of Tory. And I don't have the faith that certain other people do, that this big poll lead is that meaningful. Everything could change on the day. And then, of course, you've got the group who are like, Starmer and how he's changed the party is not speaking to me. It's not progressive enough. I don't feel comfortable giving him my vote. And so I would rather go elsewhere. And if that means the Tories getting in again, almost so be it. Although I don't think they do think the Tories will get in. I think they think it will just be a small majority. There is an argument to say that that would be sensible, but personally, oh, I can't risk it for a biscuit.
No, that's the problem, isn't it? There's such a margin still, which is also insane. In some areas, there's still like a 6% margin. It's like, what do the Tories have to do to convince you that they're not someone to vote for?
I know.
And we go back to that thing of the cult. Like, I don't understand what they're seeing. And it's also interesting to see that the Conservative Party don't seem to be trying to get votes from Labour. They're trying to get votes from Reform, which is also not standard. Like, we just talked about Trump. Trump should be aiming for the centre. That's traditionally what you do in politics in an election. You go for your base throughout, you know, the build up to the election, and then in the last year to 6 months, it's all about getting those centre votes and offering centre policies that will help everyone. And it doesn't feel like they're doing that at all. They're still going for their base, and you're like, is this just damage control? Or are you just really shit at politics?
Yeah, and to be really clear, like, in an ideal world, which we don't live in, you know, I would love to see a plethora of Green MPs with a bit of Lib Dem in there, smatterings as well, because of I like a lot of their policies, and a more of an old school Labour and a whole change. We don't live in that world. And the other thing to bear in mind is the country that we live in. Now, I love Britain, right? And when people come and say, well, if you don't like this country, then you can move. I'm not criticising the country, you absolute bellend. I'm criticising the government because I like the country. Let's just try and understand that. But the country that I've lived in all my life is centre-right, really. It's a traditionally, that's why the elections are won on the centre ground, and that's why New Labour won. And that's why after the, you know, years and years of whatever, Thatcher got in. And if, ultimately, we are, the Daily Mail is the most read paper in this country, and there's, you know, whatever else, centre is where it lies. The idea that, you know, Jeremy Corbyn gave it a bloody good go, didn't work.
No.
So
I do wonder, had the media had not been so skewed, had they not just vilified him at every turn.
Yep.
Would the results have gone that way? And I think our media landscape and our press have got an awful lot to answer for.
Absolutely, I agree. But there was really interesting in that one of the vox pops we put on the troll, where the woman was like, you know, I'll be voting for Conservative because I did such a good job with COVID. And then what was it that she said?
Imagine if Corbyn had got in.
Yeah, she said, imagine what Corbyn would have done. And I thought he would have been great in COVID, actually, because he would have locked down straight away. And so we would have had a much shorter pandemic, actually. And the shorter the pandemic, the better the economy would have been.
Might have closed down our borders to things like the Delta variant.
Yeah, he might not have let Cheltenham races go on. Yeah. And what was the other huge event when
Liverpool,
we knew it was happening?
Liverpool
Atletico Madrid.
Which you couldn't go to if it was in Madrid, but you could go to in Liverpool.
Yeah, and I don't think he'd have been giving out contracts to his mates to rustle up some shit PPE that didn't work, giving them 65 million quid. I just don't feel like he'd be doing that. That wouldn't be his remit. So I think he would have called a bit of an action to arms, and he would have got all of those people that did get in touch who said, hey, I want to make PPE and I know what I'm doing.
God, that just then brings up another connection with the mainstream media. Isn't it fascinating that Angela Rayner just got hammered over a few thousand pounds? Michelle Monet is still kicking around.
Monet.
Still kicking around. We get better trolling and dealing with these people, like by led by donkeys, like who changed the name of her boat, which was just priceless because our media won't go near someone like that.
Yep.
And it's a bit like Rishi Sunak and his wife. They're making money. They're putting food on the table with the money from Infosys, who are still dealing with Russia and allowing Russia to have economic escape routes from all the sanctions that the rest of the world are putting on them. But again, what's the media really done in terms of like investigating this and broadcasting it? But when it comes to Angela Rayner, they'll hammer her for a few grand. And it says everything about our mainstream media. And this is why, you know, this is what part of the reason why we set up the roast was to get everyone together and putting our voices across. Because if you go out into the mainstream, it's centre-right nonsense most of the time. And it's centre-right bias. I mean, we discussed that today with Question Time. But on here, we get criticised for being an echo chamber, but actually it's quite broad church. And most of us just seem to really hate the Tories.
Yeah. Alex, I was at a barbecue over the bank holiday weekend. And I was speaking to two men, loved members of the family, extended family. And politics came up and Angela Rayner came up, and both of them like, nah, don't like her. And I was like, why? Just don't like her. I was like, articulate to me why. I don't know, just don't. And I just thought, that is the influence you don't think you're influenced by. But if you can't tell me why you think that way, then that's not your opinion. That's the opinion of the people who have paid millions to shape it. I can't imagine being so like opinionated about something and not liking someone and not being able to tell you why. Unless, of course, they didn't want to say because she's a woman, because she's working class. And I was trying to say to her, to these two guys, who do you think is going to look out more for your kids' position of power? Do you think it's going to be Angela Rayner, who is from a working class background, who has worked her way up, who was a single mum? Like, or do you think it's going to be these like Oxbridge conveyor belt, entitled, inexperienced people who think that they're rightly in a position of power for any other, like God knows what reason? Like, who do you think is going to be better for society as a whole? And they're just like, well, I just thought, God. And these are intelligent people. These are successful, very successful people, and yet.
But you're right. You can't express an opinion and not have anything to back it up. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And also, which bit? I admire her. Like, born in poverty, really. They were pretty poor. She was a carer for her mum. Like you say, to get from there to where she is now, deputy leader of a huge political party, is a massive achievement in itself. She DJs. And she looks cool when she DJs. She doesn't look like Sunak trying to have a kickabout.
Does she DJ? I thought she was just behind the decks when the beat was dropping.
Well, you know, either way, she pulled it off. She looked wicked. She was in time. She had rhythm. You could tell. Yeah. Yeah. She looks like someone you could go out with. And she,
is this where you announce that you're going to invite her out to Ibiza with you?
That would she be welcome?
She would definitely be welcome.
Yeah, 100%. And I hope that's not just lazy sexism at play there.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it is, though. I mean, I saw your tweet and I sort of went, could you imagine them saying that about Harry Kane? Do you like Harry Kane? Oh, no, don't think he should be in the England team. And then go, well, okay, why not? He scores loads of goals. He plays in the Bundesliga. Mm. He's excellent. Mm-hmm. He's a captain. He's a leader. People respect him. He's probably worth, like, you know, the largest amount of any player in the planet right now. And they wouldn't be able to give you any of that.
Just don't like him.
And you would just go, that just sounds so idiotic. I mean, politics is slightly different because you don't have statistics and everything else, but you still have words that you can listen to. Mm. I think she's all right.
To be fair, I've done it about the odd Hinge date. You know, just don't like him. Why? I don't know. Just don't like him. Why? Don't like his shoes. That's not enough. Come on, Gemma. Don't be silly. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe.
But you could articulate it. It was the shoes.
I can articulate everything. There you go. Oh, dear.
I was going to deliberately avoid bringing that up. Wouldn't date a Tory.
No, are you joking?
And it's mad.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, talking to just bring everything neatly back to where we started with conscription and volunteering. I think we should just parachute Marina into barbecues before the election, just to challenge people around their sausage, around their dry burger and their potato salad. Come on then. Come on over here. Come on. What have you got? What you think? Why are you voting Conservative? Come on, why? What have they done?
Tell me why. How do you feel better? How has your life been made better in the last 40 years? Yeah. Are you happy with the state of the water? Are you happy with the state of your food shop? Yeah. What have they done?
Yeah.
What do you think? And why are you so scared of Labour?
What is it?
What, they're socialists, are they? Really? Tell me how you think they're socialists. Tell me how you think Keir Starmer's Labour Party are in any way socialist. Do you know what socialist means?
Do you know that the NHS is a socialist endeavour? Do you know what we do? We get a double parachute with a trawl written on it. This is a mixture of marketing and civic duty. And we go double style, a bit like Boris Johnson on the zip wire. We get thrown out of a plane and we land in barbecues. Could also be a TV series. Getting a bit Partridge now. I've got a series. Right, ITV. This is what it's Marina Perkins has done a forte from trawl. There's a parachute. It's out and we guide them with a drone into a barbecue.
Challenge Annika.
Go to Kent.
Alan Partridge.
And we film them, and by the end of the series, they've traumatised somebody into voting differently.
On that note, thank you ever so much.
Oh, thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Such a shame Max isn't here.
Yeah, damn him and his...
Hello, Max. Where is he? Oh, yeah, we know, don't we?
We know. He'll be back next week. It's one of those things.
On that note,
hail the lamp. Thank you to the trawl. Thank you so much for coming on. Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Peace out.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.